Harlow has been stepping in as Tarage's EA while Chloe, who's the assistant manager of Lassiter's, is on secondment with Leo's
ill-conceived winery. Leo's Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, I hope they keep doing a few more winery stories so that we can use that as an episode title.
Yes. Sorry. I've put the gold in the tubings, guys.
Yeah. So when you hear it on the main pod, you'll know where it had its origins.
Yeah. Okay. So, and Harlow has been absolutely knocking it out of the park. Do you remember what she's doing at uni?
I was going to say law, but that's Mackenzie. Oh, and I was going to say psychology for Harlow, but that's what she initially wanted to do, to like learn about her dad.
Just straight commerce, I think, would be great for her.
I think she's doing something about environmental. I don't actually know. What is she doing? I thought it was a big la-di-da course like Mackenzie was.
It's at Eden Hills. Well, yeah. It'd be that bloody great. Tell you what, she would be in Paige's women's circle, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. If she ever went to anything.
Yeah.
But she's got an aptitude for admin.
Yes.
And problem solving.
Yeah. So what happened? There was some sort of muck up with the booze order between the at the waterhole. So she just like straight away was like, all right, I'm looked through your figures and I'm going to allocate some liquor from the Flamingo Bar to you and you can give some to them and it'll all work out. And I'm just going to ring up and kick their asses. And she got a discount and everything.
And she did get a little boost from Chloe, who was just walking by and happened to chime in and help. But then that wasn't used against her. Chloe then was like, oh, looking forward to working with you. Like, you did well, kid, you know?
Yeah. Tarage is like, no, we can't afford two of you.
No, mate.
Off back to cleaning.
Two EAs is not in my budget. I did have a bit of a taste for this. There was like one or two weeks in my commercial radio days, way back at the start of my tenure when I was on reception. And, you know, obviously I was an overachiever, so I would just, you know, treat reception like it was, you know, like I was the receptionist for Australia, basically.
For Google.
Yeah. And our boss's, our general manager's EA was going on leave and no one could cover her. So they suggested me to fill in.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, of course I will do this. And then obviously was immediately terrified. This is the scariest job I've ever done. And by the end of the week, I was making Devil Wears Prada jokes, and then as a parting gift, the general manager gave me Devil Wears Prada on DVD. So it was a good time, but like nothing was at stake. So, but it was basically you just go into the general manager at the start of the day and you start writing things on a to-do list, and it's like three A4 pages long, and you just start ticking things off the to-do list for the whole day.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the week, it's like, okay, back to reception. See ya. So I was like, oh, I enjoyed that pay bump. I enjoyed not having to sit on the phones.
Like Toadie has his EA and he also has Mackenzie's who is essentially his EA's EA. Surely Tarage can have an EA who has an EA.
Yeah, and I feel like there's definitely a role she could carve out for her step-granddaughter.
There's enough businesses within Lassiter's to have a second assistant. There's the Flamingo Bar, there's the bloody rooftop pool bar. There's the upstairs restaurant.
The pool
there's
bar.
The whole, like, the rental of all the complex.
Did they ever replace Ned?
Why doesn't Paul have an EA?
Oh, because Paul can't be bothered allocating tasks to his EA. I feel like there's got to be some stepping stones between housekeeping and executive assistant. There's got to be some other – because, you know, you want to work your way up.
Yeah.
Like Laurel, again, another Gilmore Girls reference, Lorelei started out as a housekeeper and then she became an inn owner. So how are these housekeepers moving forward if there's nothing else they can do?
Why not make her like manager of the reception?
Because they definitely need that. Mm. She's kind of sitting on reception there anyway, doing all her phone calls.
Is Braxy's son still working there, toting bags?
I hope so because I love that man. He's so funny. Makes me laugh. He's just a great punchline.
Mm.
Brandon, I think his character name is. So then Harlow, so Chloe, fucking Chloe. So obviously we'll talk about it on the main pod, but Nicolette's still MIA. And Chloe, who's theoretically still her fiancé, I mean, it hasn't been officially severed, the relationship, but she is twiddling her thumbs going, gee, I wish I had something to do to take my mind off my missing girlfriend.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm just a billionaire's ex-wife. I think I could go out and just, you know, maybe go on a holiday. Maybe just sit around and do bloody nothing because I don't need to work.
Take a leaf out of the lockdown book, Chloe. Jigsaw puzzles, cross stitch, knitting, baking, decluttering. Like,
clean your pool, Chloe.
Oh my God. She's like, I just need to go back to work because I need to take my mind off this. But you've got, her mum is flying to Queensland. Like, you, there are tasks that can be done.
But oh, I just feel like, no, it's a bullet dodged, mate. Nicolette and Chloe are not, they're not endgame couplesies. Like, it's.
No, they're not.
Chloe must surely still have misgivings, which is why she's kind of like all in this paralyzed by decision making here.
She's got a very laissez-faire attitude to this disappearance. Mm. So then Therese is like, well, talk to me next week and maybe we'll see how things are going. And then she sees Chloe still really down in the dumps, just like, all right, come back tomorrow.
Weird.
See you later, granddaughter. I'm booting you out on your ass. Go back down. I feel like it's like steerage on the Titanic. She's like, Harlow, go back down to the basement, get your mop and bucket. And Harlow, her face just falls when Therese and Chloe were so upbeat, like, oh, thanks, Harlow, you've done a great job. Thank you. You can give me back your all access pass now. And her face is just crestfallen.
But like every other one of Paul's children and grandkids has had a good leg up from Paul. How come she is like cleaning toilets?
At first she was like, no, it's fine. I'm happy to do honest work. Like it'll be good for me. It's humbling.
But she's already humble.
Yeah.
Her dad's in the clink and her mum's dead and, you know, raised her in a cult. I don't think she didn't lead a privileged upbringing.
And we're not saying, like, some people do really enjoy physical work that you can turn your brain off and just focus on it and get it done. And we're not saying this is not a worthy job. We're saying once you've done, you paid your dues there and you're a young uni student looking to develop your skills, there might be something else you could do in a hotel chain.
And it's her grandfather's hotel chain. Yes. It feels, you know, she's done a good 6 months of, like, toilet cleaning. I think, yeah, move her up.
And she's already led a sustainability conference internationally.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, what someone from that like conference is going to visit? Oh, I've heard about this hotel in Edinburgh, and yeah, they get there and they're like, oh hey, but, you know, I wanted to speak to Harlow. You know, I saw her speak and it was so inspirational. Oh yeah, I think she's, oh look, let me check my list. She should be in like room 26 right now. Just go and knock on the door. She should be there. The door will be open.
It's like no conference room. No drinks on the terrace.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I just, yeah, I felt that. I felt all of that for Harlow. I don't know what her aspirations are, but I know that.
Well, it's Greta Thunberg.
We should go back to the main pot because I need to get to some polyamory.